Now, your father didn't go.
My father didn't go.
He was in medical school.
The older boys didn't go, and uh-huh. he was one of the older ones. He had a brother that they called BC. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not sure what the BC stood for, and one was called Boston. One was a pharmacist, and the other was a dentist.
Uh-huh.
So they were already established in their careers and such, so they did not go. But
and some of the girls just then ran away.
And one or two of the girls were able to not go.
And Mr. Watson told me that your grandfather, Joseph, died over there, and that he understood that his grandmother died on the ship coming back.
Okay, all right. I didn't remember exactly how. I just remember that when they went, several of them contracted this terrible fever. Of course, mm-hmm. we're talking early 1900s, late 1800s.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. When was this time?
Now, I'm not sure of the exact date. I'd have to find that out.
Uh-huh. And you don't have to.
Now, my mother has a journal. A journal of the letters that were sent back.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Now I have seen them, so I just would have to find it. And it talked about some of the things that were going on after they got there, some of the things they were doing, the people they had met while they were there and were working with. And it kind of sadly details them as they began to get sick.
Yeah.
So it's like, and for the dates and everything, I'd have to look on those letters. But I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. When I was little, I remember reading them, and I think I used them as a project for a school project one time.
Oh, it would make a fascinating school
project. But that was before it was really a big thing, you know, to talk about heritage as such. Right. But I thought it was an interesting story.
From what I understand from Mr. Watson, they went over ideally because your grandfather had felt he had his calling to be a missionary, but from what he said and you alluded to earlier is that they really weren't trained to be missionaries.
At the time we're talking at the period of time.
It's not like a church sent
the era. I don't know if it was just a strictly volunteer thing or if it was like, well, it would be nice to go. And I think nowadays it's more like you know the kinds of things that you can kind of be prepared for when you go to other countries. And so you have inoculations and all of this kinds of thing and special training before you go.
You're trained.
I don't know that at that time they would have provided that kind of thing for them. They would have lasted longer than they did from what I understand. It couldn't have been any more than say a year, if that much.
This whole thing was
and
over
generally, you know, especially now, you don't hear of anything like that because you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah.
And from what I remember from some of the little notations was everything was so different and so unusual.
Yeah.
And for the most part, you have other people who have been who are able to come back and say, well, it will be like this. This is what you should expect. This is the kind of food you should be prepared for, how to adjust to the water, whatever.
They got over there,
and
the life was not what they were.
I think it was okay, but it was like after they got sick, it was like, you know, what do we do now?
Yeah.
So I'd have to look up those dates to find the exact dates of that.
Sort of sad, though.
It's nice, like, it's kind of like a pioneer kind of feeling, you know, first to go from the area, and I'm sure there weren't that many from here, if any, that had ever considered the possibility.
Right.
But to be able to get on a ship and sail across to Africa, saying, I'm going to help other people, that had to be exciting and frightening, you know, and then especially when you look at the outcomes, you know, that all of them did not get back, they got sick,
You think a couple of sisters did run away and get married?
That was what I was always told. Because I always wondered, because I'd always heard the story of them going.
Yeah.
And then I wondered, well, why is it that Aunt Leela's in Atlanta and Aunt Ella's out in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
They didn't go, you know? And it was like, nope. They managed not to be able to go.
Well, now, one of them, Aunt Ella, did go, I understand. She's the one that wrote the journal.
Okay.
From what Mr. Watson told me, some of them did make it back home.
Right.
But they couldn't all make it back home.
No, they all did. I know they all did, and I don't remember who.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't remember anyway, but I mean.
No, but what you
what I've been told over the years.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, well, we talked about what the Sharps' grandparents did for a living. Now, let's talk about Bruce Sizemore.
He was, well, they were all kind of started out same kind of thing in farmers and that kind of stuff. But my grandfather, Bruce, became, he worked on the highway in that he paved, you know, he would travel all up and down the road, and that was, he was like one of the,
construction
and designers and engineers and that kind of thing,
engineer.
And he worked with that kind of thing for years and years. And so he was usually on the road quite a bit.
How did he get started in that? Do you have any
idea? I don't know how he got started. I just remember my mom would talk about, you know, was his regular thing. He would come in and then he'd say, well, we're working on a new road down some such area. And then he would like get on a train or either they would just get in the car, several of them, and go. And they would be gone for, you know,
so he built
a period
roads.
Of time. And he built roads, yeah.
But did he do more than building them? Do you think he helped design them and that kind of stuff?
I don't know if this was just, you know, just talk or what, but from what I understand, that he was very instrumental in helping to not only just pour the tar and everything,
but
designing them
in
and experimenting with different combinations and that kind of thing, you know, and seeing, you know, this worked here, let's try such and such a thing. And I think he eventually ended up, he lived in Charlotte when he died. And which was one of the reasons I ended up going to Smith. I went to college in Charlotte.
What about his wife Carrie then? What did she do?
I know, she basically just did kind of like domestic kind of work and took care of the house because he was gone so much. So she took care of the children. They had three girls. And my mom was the middle girl. She had an older sister, Agnes, a younger sister, Louise. Both of them went into teaching. And my mother went into nursing. So it's like kind of.
But they went into professions then. They didn't go into housekeeping and that thing for people.
Now, my grandmother did. Now, she worked with other families around here in the area, and she would, like, maybe do laundry for some or keep some of the children. So she, you know, was pretty well known.
She did that more than just taking care of her own.
Yeah.
She did
that.
That
was like, because my mom would always say that she grew up with a lot of other people.
In other words, there were children.
Yeah, there were always children.
Were they white
children? The neighbors and white children. Yeah, the Richardson family here.
Here in town.
And in Seneca. They all grew up together. One of them's a doctor now, and they worked together at the hospital after my mom became a nurse, because he's a doctor in the area.
And this is the white doctor we're talking about.
Oh, Don Richardson, So they all kind of, she would always tell her, they all sat around and ate at the same tables and played in the yard together and everything. So,
So she grew up with black and white children.
That's basically what my grandmother did.
Right. If any of your family were farmers, we did talk about your grandfather was for a while. Did they rent or sharecrop, or they owned their own land? They owned theirs.
As far as I know, they owned it. I assume it was kind of like a sharecropping kind of thing. I don't know how it was obtained. I just know that.
But you think he did?
They
own
had
it.
Owned it at some point in time. They owned it because it was eventually given to the church.
Oh, that's right. You said he gave the land to the church.
Yeah.
Did any of the older relatives ever have to leave the area to find work, or did some of them move away?
Several who moved to different other places. Like my mother's younger sister, she and her family all moved to Washington and worked in the government. She worked with the Naval Department for years until she retired. Her husband was an electrical engineer up in the area in Washington. They had two sons. One son attended Howard for a while, and the other one went into the Air Force. And now he works at for NASA at the Goddard Space Flight Center. He works with he's a photographer, by trade. And so he works in the weather area in regards to that when they're doing their space shuttle preparations and stuff. He's involved in that kind of thing. So.
Well, I was thinking further back, like the
grandparents. Beyond that, now there were several on the Sizemore side who are now, who settled in like Ohio and Illinois. Most of them are in Ohio. I have a great aunt now that still lives in Cleveland. And there was another brother that lived in Sandusky, Ohio, which is like right across, not about 50 miles out of Cleveland. And so a lot of them were up in that area, somewhere in Cincinnati. So there are several on the Sizemore side. Now the Sharps, I guess after my father died so long ago, like in the 50s, 56 is when he died, I kind of lost track of the Sharp family, except for those in the immediate area, like Charles and Azalea and Aunt Leela, who lived in Atlanta. She, like I said, she died when, in about the mid-60s. So that was the contact with the Sharp family, and for the most part, after that, it was like all the other cousins, and most of them did not live in this area either.
Oh, not anymore.
See, like Aunt Ella lived in Oklahoma, and so it was like you knew she lived out there, she existed. We talk on the phone sometimes, and as she got older, then she moved to California with her daughter.
Further still. Yeah.
So it's like I never really got to know them until like just about, I guess about 10 years ago, we started really making contact again.
Yeah.
And they started, they set up a Hall Sharp reunion. So now a lot of them, I've begun to meet some other cousins on the Sharp side that I did not know for the most part. Oh, I knew of, but had never met. So now I'm beginning to meet some of them. But we'd always been close with the Sizemores because, you know, my mother was still living. So a lot of them still lived in the area. And we'd all see each other all the time. So, and I think that made a big lot of difference in regards to that, and in the age group, too.
Did any of the family work for the railroad, to your knowledge? I'm talking about way back. In the,
I'm not sure about that. I better not say, I don't really know.
Right.
And I'm sure there were probably some that did, because I'm thinking on the Sizemore side that Captain Sizemore may have worked at the railroad for a while, but I can't say definitely.
Thinking about your grandparents more, where would they have shopped? They shopped right here in Seneca, or do you even know?
I would guess for what was here, you know, in this area, we'll see, like, they travel quite a bit back and forth between here and Pickens and Liberty.
Because
my grandmother was from up that way, and so a lot of her family, McDowell's, and, in that area, so it was like back and forth, and probably a venture off to Anderson or something, you know, and maybe even Greenville. I really don't know, but like early years, we're talking early 1900s. The transportation probably wasn't the best, but I have seen pictures where they had, you know, cars and stuff. So it was like we'd load up and get together. Like there would be Sunday gatherings. And from what I understand, they like kind of rotate from one house to another. You know, they go to this uncle and aunt's house this time, and next Sunday we meet at one of the other houses. And so it was
They have big social gatherings.
I was like, that was a big thing to get
together. Family party. That's nice. How about clothing? Do you know of any of your ancestors or grandparents and all that made? Did they make their own clothing, or were they more apt to buy it? Or do you know anything about that?
I don't know that anyone has ever gone into detail as to whether, you know, a lot of the things were bought. But for the most part, I guess it could have probably been like about half and half.
Yeah.
You know, like probably more of the men's clothes may have been bought.
Yeah.
And the ladies would make things. Because from all old pictures and things, it's basically the same. I don't know if it's just if we get dressed up because we're taking pictures.
Yeah.
You know, most of the pictures you see, the men generally have on suits.
Nice suit,
And the ladies have on really nice dresses and everything, unless it's really, really casual kind of thing. And I have do have a few things where, and then it's still, you know, nice and
right.
Children, wow, and everything. But
what about food?
I don't
Did they raise their own food?
Yeah. I think most of the food was probably raised. If they didn't raise their own, it was like, you know, neighbors,
yeah.
Kind of like now, you know, roadside stands, or uh-huh. Somebody grew this over here and you grew something else, so you kind of exchanged.
Uh-huh.
Or basically you grew most everything that you needed, you know, yeah. small plots as well right. As large
sure.
Farm area.
So you think, pretty sure they would have done that kind of thing?
I think so, yeah.
What about furniture? Was there someone that was a furniture maker in the family that you know of, or do you think they were more inclined to buy
it? Now, I think my grandfather, Bruce, the one that worked on the highway, I think uh-huh. He was kind of, he built a few things, because I remember hearing my mom say from time to time that he made this, that, or the other. Now, how, yeah. I don't know if any of it would still exist.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if there's any of it around.
The furnishings in the house
mm-hmm.
were, you know, I assume bought for the most
right.
part. But now my grandmother's house, my mother's mother's
mm-hmm.
house, burned,
oh.
I guess, late 40s.
Mm.
And because they had lived over on Cherry Street. That's where my mother grew up,
oh,
on
oh,
Cherry
okay.
Street. And, well, I can tell her later teen years, that's
uh-huh.
where they lived. And my mother's younger sister, like I said, was a teacher here in the area. My mother's older sister was already married and,
yeah.
had, and lived in Spartanburg County. And it was the night of graduation or a special program or something, because
mm-hmm.
my aunt and uncle both were teachers, and they had gone for the special program. And as they were leaving, realized that the house had burned, and it completely burned because my aunt and uncle and two
mm-hmm.
cousins were living with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happened my father's was building a new house
oh.
and did not tear the old house down. They just kind of moved it over to one side
yeah.
of the lot and built a new house beside it so
yeah.
that they could continue to live in that while the new one was being finished. And I guess it was really a fate, you know, a blessing in disguise that they did not tear the old house down. So what happened was, after that house burned, all of them moved into the old house.
Oh.
And my mother and father moved into the newer house as they were finishing
mm-hmm.
up with it. And so my grandmother lived there in the old house until she died. My aunt and uncle lived there until they moved
mm-hmm.
away to Washington. But so a lot of the older stuff
yeah,
that would have
yeah.
maybe been able to pass on
right.
Was destroyed
was
in the fire.
If there's any furniture or oak baskets or
now,
tools or quilts
the
or
only thing that I really have, I really cherish is my father's old desk.
Oh, he has a desk.
So, roll top desk.
Oh,
it's
one of those.
Darling.
Terrible.
I mean,
yeah.
we're talking one of the old desks.
How old do you think it is? I mean, before the 1900s?
It would have to be
around
early 1900s. Because
uh-huh.
my mother remembers it being there in the old house.
Gee.
And so that when we tore the house down, that was the one thing I definitely
mm-hmm.
wanted. There were a few
yeah.
other things,
sure.
like the old graphanoia, you know, wind up thing that my mother let somebody talk her into selling when I went to college.
Yeah.
And I got back, what? You didn't sell that, did you?
It's gone.
But,
I know the feeling.
I don't even know. I don't think she even remembered who it was she sold it to or anything. But those were like
yeah.
things that you don't find now.
Yeah.
And you can't find, and you can't afford those.
No,
those
you find
desks.
It, they're
but
gone.
This desk
yeah.
is,
it's too dear.
It still has some of the, you know, like, old, I don't know, burn marks. I don't think my father smoked, but there are little burn marks on it, I guess from other people.
Other people probably
who would be sitting there. And there were old, so a lot of his old papers
mm-hmm.
and his medical
oh,
things
nice,
are here. I have a Latin textbook that I really like that was his. Now, I assume, I don't know if it was his from college or what, but
mm-hmm.
It's one of those you have to really be careful with, you know, to handle it.
Mm.
My aunt gave my father's sister, mm-hmm. when it was in Atlanta, had an old book of, she eventually became a Christian Scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a book of their prayers or something, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and it's an older mm-hmm. book. I don't think it was something that she bought new.
Yeah.
As old as it appears, it seems mm-hmm. as if she had already gotten it old, because she only became a Christian Scientist, like, I guess, early 60s,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
before she, right before she died. But this book that I have found
mm-hmm.
is a lot older than that. I don't remember what the copyright is, but it's really unusual. It's like you can't really touch it. It's like really soft and
mm-hmm.
where it's has begun to deteriorate. So I don't have it much. It's over at the other house, and I didn't have to find it again because I kind of hid it for myself. But that kind of thing.
So they're the only things you have that are still in possession of your family.
I think so.
What about older members of your family? Were any of them known for special talents, such as musicians or singers or preachers or craftsmen or needleworkers or anything like that?
Well, I can say my grandfather did some of that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And there were several brothers of them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure they were involved in some way. Now how, I would just have to find out.
Right.
My father was was a very good singer. He was involved in the church quite a bit. And he was one of the first trustees at the Seneca Junior College.
Mm. And what church was this that he was in?
Ebenezer Baptist Church. And he was superintendent of Sunday schools for years. And so he was, I've always been told, he was a very good singer. And my mother was a singer. She was one of the presidents of the choir.
Voices, huh?
Uh-huh. After he died, she became the president of the choir and remained that in that position, really, until she died.
Yeah, I understand he was very active in church.
And, he was one of the early delegates to those early years when they were developing the state convention.
Mm.
That's generally recorded in the minutes, and they remind me of it regularly. and she was very active in that regards, too.
And you said he was on the Board of Trustees for Seneca Junior College as well.
Mm-hmm. He was one of those early. Well, at that time, he was one of the younger members of the board.
Yeah, because the kind of the school was
started at that
in
time,
1899,
they were older.
And
yeah.
he would have been
and he was one of those early ones.
Now,
I may not have been
ones,
on the first board, but he was early in that. And so he was very active in that regards and then around, and there was always music. My mother played the piano. Now, I don't remember if my father played. I remember everybody telling me he sang all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anyone ever saying that he played. Now, we have an old electric organ, little roller organ.
Oh, yeah.
It's at the house. I don't know
that
it's any good anymore, but that was always there. That organ and the desk were like the few things that we managed to.
Oh, so you still have the organ, too?
Yeah, the organ is at the house. Of course, I'm sure it's in really bad shape.
We talked about the flu epidemic earlier, so we don't need to talk about that again, but what about any other disasters or floods or tornadoes or other illnesses back early?
Now, I don't remember hearing them talk about any other, terrible things that occurred.
Yeah.
Now, when the different wars occurred, by the time, World War One, he was not involved in it.
No.
He did not go into service, so I don't know if
that's
it was because he was a doctor and he was needed here, and right about that time was when all of this flu hit.
Yeah, right, that's right, that's true too.
So I don't know if, other than that, if there was some reason why.
Yeah.
And then when World War II came around, well, of course, he would have been
too old.
And so in that regards,
so he wasn't involved in any of the wars?
No.
And you don't know
Yeah, I did have, I used to have a rifle from World War I. That some patient of his had given him.
Oh, a patient gave him.
Patient gave it to him.
Say.
And I think my mother gave it to my cousin after a while, but I forgot about that. Just said that.
What about your church? What church denomination did your parents belong to and your grandparents, certainly?
Baptist. Now, my mother and father were both involved at Ebenezer Baptist here in Seneca. My grandparents on my mother's side, same thing. Now, I'm not sure about
the
grandparents
about
the Sharp side.
What church they belong to?
As to exactly what church it was. Now, it might have been St. Paul, like I said, because they were down in that area. And he may have been one of the trustees in the early, and that might have been why he, you know, felt comfortable called to be a missionary and to give the land when he was, I don't know if he gave it before he left or as a part of, you know, so they would have land to build a church on.
Yeah.
So that I know he did, and I assume he was a member there. I don't know for sure, and I think I remember having, when they would have homecomings, they would mention it in the part of their church history.
Which certainly makes sense.
Now, most of the other Sizemores, on the Sizemore side, most of them have been Methodists.
They're
a member of the Methodist Church.
They were Methodist rather than Baptist. Which Methodist Church? St. James?
St. James, here in this area. And then there were some that were Methodists and some that were Baptists over in Pickens County.
Over there, too.
Griffin Ebenezer is one of the main churches that we always use for our reunions and that kind of stuff. So that's in Pickens, and then the Baptist and Methodist Church Center in Liberty, that are across the street from each other as you go through Liberty.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
They all went to either or both. You know, it was like one church had service on two Sundays, and one church had service on the other two Sundays. So you went to one church. And so I don't know if they ever really kind of designated a particular denomination, but for the most part on the Sizemores, most of the Sizemores in this area, here in Seneca, were
Methodist.
Those that are still living in Baptist, more on the other side. Yeah, and those that are still living over in
Greenville are all Baptists. Do you know any of the ministers back then, and like their names or what kind of training they had or anything like that? Did you ever hear?
As a part of our church's history, and up in this area, at several churches, because a lot of the ministers would serve several churches. Dr. J.J. Starks, that had been very instrumental with Benedict, was one of the ministers here at Ebenezer and lived here in the area when he served, and he and Daddy and us knew each other, and Mama.
He was the one that was in Seneca Institute.
Yeah, he was involved with the
Seneca
Institute.
Now, where is Ebenezer Baptist?
It's on 2nd Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
The church still existing today?
Oh, yeah.
It is. Okay.
That's where I go. I'm there.
And you still attend Ebenezer Baptist, which was... And then this church was there when Starks came, or you say he founded?
He was one of the early ministers.
He was one of the early ministers.
Now, the church itself was established. We just celebrated 107th anniversary back in March. So it was established.
Okay, so it had to be served in the 19th century then.
Yeah, 83. It was formed in 83.
Oh.
And it hasn't, it's only moved once. It started at Cherry Street. Well, it moved over a couple of blocks. Now it's on the corner of Cherry and 2nd Street.
Right.
So
right.
It's still in the same vicinity. And, I was like Starks. When he had come in the area, he stayed in this area, and he was very instrumental with Benedict College.
Right.
And in one of his book that he wrote about it, Lo, These Many Years, he mentions a lot about his stay here in Seneca. And I've got one of those copies somewhere.
Did you read in there, or do you have any knowledge as to why he picked this area to
I think it was because of the school.
But
you had an accumulation of a lot of, and like I said, this church had already been established. A lot of churches had already been established, and so they were beginning to association in the state to gather everybody together, and it was like, well, we have a nice congregation on accumulation of a lot of blacks in the area, and rather than having to travel to Columbia. Which probably where you had other schools that had already been established. And why not? You know, you had a lot of people coming from the Seneca, Walhalla, Westminster area, Oconee County, going to like Benedict and Claflin and Allen and Columbia. Claflin's in Orangeburg. So, and South Carolina State. And it was like, at that time, just like now, it's a long ride, you know. And I think that was one of the things. It was like you had a lot of people in the area that were interested and were going to school, beyond grade school. And why not?
And I think
in the people here in the area, and like even like my father had gone to school here, and then he went to school in North Carolina to the medical school at Raleigh, and then came back, and it was like, well, why not? And I think that was probably some of the thinking. The men who were a part of the association were willing to say, well, we'll put together what money we have, and we'll build something, and we'll start a school here. And they can go here for at least 1 or 2 years, and then transfer into, say, to Benedict or wherever. And I think that was kind of the thinking going on at the time. And it was, you know, why go on off and stay the whole time? Let's do something right in the area.
Sure.
And you can go here for high school, all over beyond high school.
Right.
And then from there, go on and do a little bit more. And then you wouldn't be away from here for too long. And then you had a lot of other people that came in from, say, Greenwood,
mm-hmm.
who did not go to, say, Columbia. It was just as easy to come to Seneca.
Sure.
And so they came. So you had a lot of people from other areas, Newberry and even Greenville, around in those areas. And I guess it was just because those men were determined, you know, why not? We'll give up what we can to provide for our own children.
Right.
And it kind of started like that. And I think Starks just happened to be in the area and said,